But I'm not, I don't want to be arrogant. That's a lot of attribute, right? But really, the average Tawheed classes that I've seen conducted, they don't go this far. They just give you the basics, you know, Allah is the God, and He's the only one to be worshipped, and He has beautiful names and attributes, and that's it. This stuff is really, really important. It's really, really important. Because this will help you, believe it or not, that when you read the Quran, things will get much, much clearer. They'll become more clear. The next branch is that each or in every attribute of Allah can be addressed the three basic questions. Each and every attribute of Allah can be addressed about three basic questions. The first question is, are they real? Are they actual? Or not? Excuse me, and why? And why? Alright? What do I mean by they? Are they actual? Are they real? What do I mean by real? What am I talking about?
Are the
attributes real? And why? That's the first question. Are the attributes real? Are they actual? And why? That's the first question. In other words, if we're going to be talking to somebody about the attributes of Allah, these are three basic questions that can be addressed. That's what we mean. The second question, is taqyif? You have to go back to your notes now. Is taqyif permissible? And why? It's taqyif. We learned this word. T-A-K-Y-E-E-F. Is taqyif permissible? Meaning the taqyif of the attribute. Is it permissible? And why? That's the second question. And the third and final question is, Rahim. It's legal. No, well, not Abdul Rahim, Rahim.
You call yourself Rahim.
Right? Yes.
Yes, I was going to say, but they can they call themselves Rahim in the Arabic, or even like Ra'uf in the Arabic. When you write it in Arabic, it has the Tanween.
It doesn't make any difference.
But in English, you can't.
It doesn't make any difference because it doesn't make any difference. What you're saying, he's saying Tamim, but those don't know. He's saying it's indefinite.
Right.
It's not the Rahim. Right, but Allah calls himself Rahim without the definite of Rahim.
He calls himself with
many places in the Quran, Allah says, Inna Allah Ra'ufun Rahim. Indefinite. And in some other places, he says, Al-Ra'ufun Al-Rahim. That he's the. He calls him, he uses the indefinite and he uses the definite. The same thing you can call yourself. Allah is Rahim. Right? Allah is Ra'u. Allah is Rafiq. And we go brother there, right? He's no preserve to call himself Rafiq. That's their name. And Allah is Rafiq, the kind. Right? Or something is kind. You can choose this name, you can choose this name, you can choose this name. You just can't put the definite article in front of it, which is the, and say Al Rafiq or Al Ra'u. Or Al-Rahim. Right? You just can't do that. If you do that, then you have to put Abd in front of it, which is Abdul Rahim, which is the servant of the Rahim, Allah. The servant of Abdul Rahim. The servant of Rafim. Right? So either way you want to take it, you can either take it without the definite article, which means the. Right? All this means the. You can know some brothers that call themselves As-Salam. You can't do that. You see? But you can call yourself Salam. There's no problem. But Quddus, you can't do that. Why? Because intrinsically, the meaning of Quddus suggests divinity. Rahim doesn't suggest divinity. Because there are many human beings that are merciful. There are many human beings that are kind. There are many human beings who are friendly. But Quddus means divine. No imperfections whatsoever. That is only for Allah. So there's names that we share with Allah, there's attributes that we share with Allah,
And there's some that we don't, that are only for Allah. And we share with them only in name, not in degree. Because we say, وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ, there's nothing equal to him. So though I can be Rahim, Allah calls the Prophet in the Quran, Ra'uf. He calls him Rahim. He called Luqman in the 30-something chapter of the Quran. He wasn't even a prophet. He called him Hakim. Luqman, Al-Hakim, the wise. This is what Allah calls him, right? I mean, you know the story, right? This person from Nubia, from the parts of Sudan, a chapter in the Quran is dedicated to him. He calls him Hakim. Yeah, but see here, it doesn't suggest what it suggests when it means Allah. It means that this person is a very, very wise person. You see? So it's permissible to do that. But there's some names you just cannot call yourself. Even you can't even put Abdul in front of it. Can't even say it that way, because it's exclusively for Allah. Allah has the name Zul Jalali wal Ikram. You won't find Muslims taking it. You don't go to Muslim countries and find Muslims doing this. Only we do this in America. You don't find Muslims calling each other Abdul Zalali Jalali wal Ikram. Abdul Malik al-Maluk. You know what I'm saying? Who was doing that? Except us. Muslims
in America are
the deep, I'll tell you, man.
Is that the same with Khalid?
No, this is another one. Excellent example for the sister. We can't call ourselves Khalid. The Creator. Because the Creator, this is the intrinsic meaning of Khalid, of Khalid. Khalif, some people spell it with one A. Khalif, the creator. It doesn't mean that if you took it with doesn't mean that how you gonna call yourself that? You don't create anything. Creation means that you start with nothing and you make something. We don't create anything. Some of us don't even make anything. Right?
But excuse me,
we have a discussion
about we create, not Allah creates.
No, we don't create, we procreate. Oh. Because the meaning of creation means to take nothing and make something. What we do is we are manufacturing, we're creating in a limited sense. We're using materials that were here before you came out of your mother's womb to make something else. You're changing the form of something that was already here to another form. You're not saying be, and it is. That's creation. Creation signifies or indicates origination. That's what it means. When you create, you're the originator. That's why Allah calls himself the originator of the heavens and earth. He's the only one that can do bid'ah. That's what the word means. That's what it means. The only one that has the right to do bid'ah is Allah. Is to introduce something, to bring something into existence that wasn't there before. That's what it means. You don't have the right to do that. And if you don't, you know I don't. Right? What time is it?
20 after 7?
Okay. Alright. Are these things kind of clear?
Kind of.
Somewhat? For some of us it's not clear? excuse me, huh? It's fuzzy? It's kind of fuzzy? Okay.
It's V.
What did you say? I said it was V. I know some masters you can go, you can hit the real V stuff. You want to know V. This ain't cute. This is real simple. Maybe that's the reason why it seems deep, because that other stuff is so deep. We have to get that stuff out of our brain. This is real simple. Okay, you know something I think I mean? Oh, yes. I made a mistake. See? I'm not so stupid. I made a mistake. From the part that says Allah's names are all perfect and beautiful, that's under principle number two.
Okay.
Doesn't make a difference to y'all anyway, y'all weren't here, right? Okay.
That's branch number one.
Right. Principle number one only has sticking to the text. All right? And everything else is principle number two.
Okay.
Please.
Sticking to the text.
Please.
Hmm? Where's that last one?
That's where. Please forgive me.
Please forgive me.
I'm forgiven? That's an essence of a walk. Okay. The third principle.
Inshallah, after the class, we'll straighten it out, inshallah. The mistake that I made. I'll clean up for it, inshallah.
The third principle is what? The third principle is that all of the attributes of Allah are sublime, perfect, and let me see how would I translate this word. And to indicate this difficult word to translate. And they praise him. All the attributes of Allah are sublime, perfect, and they indicate that he is being praised, and they don't have any deficiencies or deficiencies. They don't have any imperfections or deficiencies. This sounds like one of the other principles, right? No imperfections. No deficiencies. It sounds like one of the other ones, but it's not. And we'll explain it inshallah. What we mean by this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for instance, life. Life, knowledge, power, hearing, seeing, wisdom, mercy, transcendency or highness or sublimity. All of these are lofty, sublime attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like he says in the Quran, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى, and to Allah belongs the loftiest, most perfect, sublime attributes. Okay? Now, the next thing I'm going to mention, you have to really think about this one. You have to put on your thinking kufis and khimar on that. You're going to get real deep on y'all. You have to really think about this stuff on here. Okay? That is that there are some names of Allah and or attributes that, and I mentioned this earlier, that when they're talking about Allah, they're all perfect, they all show that he's being praised, they're all sublime. But if you take the same name or the same attribute and connect it to a human being, it's something bad. Simply what we mean is, there are some attributes that we share with Allah and names. If you talk about Allah with that same name or attribute, it's something good. If you talk about the human being, it's something bad. With the exact same name. Anybody give me an example?
Al-Mu'min.
Al-Mu'min
is the camel.
Al-Mu'min. That may be able to be used. But the only difference is that even the name Al-Mu'min, the gift, the causer of death, with us, that can also be good. I'm talking about something that is totally, always, exclusively bad. It's a name of one, it's an attribute that Allah has, and it's an attribute that human beings have, but when you're talking about Allah, it's always good. Not only is it good, it's sublime, it's perfect, and it's praised. You're actually praising Allah when you say it. But if you say the same attribute about a human being, it's the opposite. It shows degradation in him. Degradation. It shows that it's actually an attribute of the human being that is derogatory and degrading. Can anybody give me an example?
an attribute that I can have, that you can have, but if you have it, it's a bad thing, but Allah has it as a good thing. Can you give me an example? Anybody?
Yeah, looking at your boy. Destroyer?
Hmm?
Destroyer?
No, Allah doesn't have the name destroyer, that's it. Or the attribute. Hmm?
I think the sisters know.
Sisters, you know? Nobody know? Okay. One of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that's another subject. One of the attributes of Allah is Al Kabir. And also Mutakabbir. Mutakabbir. Anyone know what Mutakabbir means? Anybody? Al Mutakabbir means arrogant. Means arrogant. This is the name of Allah, Al Mutakabbir. Al Mutakabbir. Mutakabbir. We say Mutakabbir. But it's pronounced Mutakabbir. Al Mutakabbir. Right? This is one of the names of Allah. Inside this name, and we mentioned inside all of the names are attributes, the intrinsic, internal attribute inside what the Kibir is Kibir, which means the proud and arrogant. It's an attribute in it which means something that is proud and haughty and arrogant. When you talk about Allah like that, it's sublime, perfect, and you're praising Him. When you talk about Allah being with the Kabir, it is something that shows how high He is, it is something that shows His perfection, and it's something that praises Him. But something from the creation, the human beings, if you call a human being with the Kabir, it means he's an arrogant, haughty, yeah. I don't know who you think will go to, I'll be say something else. They go to some other community. watch what I say, inshallah. But you understand what I'm saying? So there's some attributes, there's attributes that we share with Allah, but with His, they're always, always showing sublimity of Allah. It's always showing perfection in Allah, even if we don't understand it. For instance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go ahead, so you missed the question, make it
clear. So you said we can't equate that with that. The definition of arrogance and how haughty that we know of, we can't equate that with.
Yeah, but the difference is that Allah says in chapter 42, verse 11, Laysa kamithlihi shay'un wa huwa as-sami'ul basir. There's nothing like Him. So His arrogance is a praiseworthy thing because He's the only one that has the right to be arrogant. Allah is the only one that has the right to be, you know, of course we don't say stick out the chest, so Allah doesn't say he has a chest. But you know, proverbially speaking, the only one that has the right to boast is the one who started this whole thing. Allah. No human being has the right to be arrogant. No. How can you? Who has the right to be haughty? Well, Allah can take your life, you know, I mean, we can't even give the time period to take Allah to take your life and take everything from you that you own. At a blinking, quicker than a blinking of eye. I mean, how can you? No human being. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, "You related from Allah in a hadith Qudsi. In the fourth hadith Qudsi, you can find this hadith. He said, Allah ﷺ said, "Pride is my robe, and greatness is my robe, and pride is my cloak. And whoever tries to compete with me in these two things, I'll cast him into the hellfire." Okay. I'll cast him into the hellfire. Well, this is an attribute of Allah that you are not supposed to take. Because when you take it, it shows something bad. When we talk about Allah with it, it shows something sublime, perfect, and you're praising Him. For instance, Allah says in the Quran,
لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. Sleep nor slumber overtakes him not. Right? In this, these two negative things Allah is negating of himself, that he doesn't sleep, nor, not only does he not sleep, he doesn't have fatigue. That's why Allah always, he's infinitely wise, because he could have just said he doesn't sleep. Because you're like the five competitors, they say, yeah, man, I'm not sleeping, man, I'm going to get some rest. Right? That's, you know what they can say, right? I'm going to get rest. I don't sleep, I go to rest, but God don't sleep. I'm just going to get some rest. Right. You're going to get some rest. Yeah, but what Allah says in the Quran, لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ. Slumber, fatigue, the prelude to sleep doesn't even overtake Allah. The thing that causes you to sleep doesn't even come over Allah. You see? Now, we can say the same thing about this wall. Right? Am I right or wrong? لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. هذا الجدار لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. This wall, no sleep, no slumber overtakes it not. Is that showing sublimity of the wall? Does it show perfection in the wall? Are you praising the wall? But with Allah, you are. You see? The same principle. So there are some names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of them have attributes inside of them. Some of them, they show deficiency. And some of them, they show perfection. When it's talking about Allah, it's always perfect. But when it's talking about the created things, it shows imperfection. Even though the word that Allah calls himself has, from one viewpoint, it can show perfection, another viewpoint it shows imperfection. When you talk about Allah, it's always perfect. Example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the surah called, let me see, what is the number of this surah? Anfal. This is chapter number 8. Number 8. Surah Anfal. Al-Anfal. I think it's Surah 8. Surah Anfal. The verse is verse 30. I think that's it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yes, it's 8th chapter. The 8th chapter, the 30th verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَنْكُرُونَ وَيَنْكُرُونَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. They plot, and Allah plot. And Allah is the best of plotters. The word makr, that's used in the verse. The word makr. Makr means to plot. Inside this word that Allah calls himself, this attribute, from one point of view, plotting is a good thing. To plan is a good thing. But from another point of view, plotting can be a bad thing. Am I right or wrong? Is this right? But Allah calls himself this. Another example. Allah says in the surah called Qariq, he says in the 86th chapter of the Quran, the 86th chapter of the Quran, the last two verses, 15 through 17. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُمْ يَكِيدُونَ كَيْدًا وَأَكِيدُ كَيْدًا. Right? Actually, it's 16. 15 and 16 verses. 15 and 16 verses. Allah says, إِنَّهُمْ يَكِيدُونَ كَيْدًا وَأَكِيدُ كَيْدًا. Surely they plot, a plot against you. And Allah says, I plot, a plot against them. Alright? And this word is cave. Right? And then you have another word, khida, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the fourth surah of the Quran, the 142nd verse. Allah says, chapter 4, verse 142. He says, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهُ وَهُوَ خَادِعُهُمْ. Surely the hypocrites, they try to deceive Allah. This is khidab. That's what it's called in Arabic. Khidah. K-H-I-D-A-A. Says, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهِ وَهُوَ خَادِعُهُمْ. But Allah, and Allah deceives them. Allah tricks them. That's what it means. Allah beguiles them. Allah dupes them. The word dupe or trick in one sense can be a good thing. But in another, if you look at another aspect, it can also be a bad thing. So now, how do we understand Allah calling himself these things?
Chapter 42, verse 11.
That's one way. There's nothing like him. However, he's deceitful. It's not like anything else, right? But now, let me ask you a question. This is an examination. Anybody who gets this right, you just get it right. I don't have any prizes or anything, so, you know. Can we call now, according to what we learned so far, can we say Allah, this is what I'm saying, this is very careful, brothers and sisters. Can we say that Allah is the planner? Just say Allah is the deceiver. Can we say that? Allah is the tricker. Allah is the tricker. Is it safe to say that?
Yes.
But no, listen to what I'm saying. Based on all the principles and things we just learned already over the past 2 weeks, all right? Can we safely say that Allah is al-makir, the plotter? He's al-khadir. He's the deceiver, the tricker. Can you call him that?
No.
We said that the door opened. That's not a trick. They said. Okay. So it is said to you, is Allah described by trickery and deception and plotting? You can't say yes, and you can't say no. You know what the key is? When you read verses like this, and you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calling himself by names that have these type of attributes in them, what you have to do is you have to look at how it's being used in the Quran. You'll never, ever, ever, how many ever is that?
Three?
Ever, ever. Allah is odd, he says, and he likes odd, so I'll use five. You'll never, ever, ever see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala call himself by a name that can suggest deficiency or defect or something criminal in it by itself. You'll never see this in the Quran. You'll never see this. You'll always see him using this name in a combative type of way. He's warring with someone who's trying to do that thing. Look, anywhere in the Quran, they try to deceive Allah, so Allah deceives them. Right? So the way we would answer this, no, we can't call Allah this, and we can't say yes, we can call Allah this. The answer is that we have to call Allah these things only when they're used like this. Only when he's using these names or these attributes to combat someone in this thing. So I don't know, is this clear?
It's
not clear? You understand what I'm saying? It's a combative type of thing. You'll never see Allah in the Quran say, he created the heavens and the earth, and he made the night merges to the day, and surely Allah is a deceiver. You follow what I'm saying? You'll always see Allah calling himself this when somebody in his creation that he created is trying to do that. Then he shows how good he is at doing it, and he's the best at doing that. But when he's not doing that, you can't call Allah that, because that's not him all the time. He's only like that when somebody stupid tries to be like that too. That's what it means. That's the answer.
So that's the same as retaliate?
It's a retaliatory type attribute. And you can't say Allah is that. Allah is a tricker. A'udhu billah, you can't call Allah a tricker. But yes, you can call Allah a tricker if somebody's trying to be tricky. Because now he comes back. You see? Anything that shows any type of defect or deficiency or something evil in it, Allah says, "Fi qulubihim maradun, fazadahum Allahu marada." In their heart is a disease. Now, Allah don't want people to be sick, but if they take it upon themselves to deviate from Sirat al-Mustaqim, from the straight way,
and let kufr or shirk or bid'ah or anything come into their heart, Allah now is the increaser of disease. That's an attribute. So he takes upon himself, you want to be like that? You stupid. I'm going to increase it. You see? So, but you can't call on Allah and say, oh, increaser of disease. No, because Allah is the healer. But anyone who gets stupid with Allah, I keep using the word stupid because I don't really want to say what I really want to say. I mean, I don't want to say, I don't want to say what I really want to say. But anyone who has this warring type attribute against Allah and the messenger and those who believe, then Allah says, the hypocrites, they try to deceive Allah. Okay, you try to deceive Allah, so Allah deceives them. But Allah is not the deceiver. He's only the deceiver for those who are justified in being deceived. That's why the Prophet in every single khutbah on Friday, he'd actually say, in alhamdulillah, na'maduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh, he would say, ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له whoever Allah guides, no one can lead them astray ومن يضلل فلا هادي له and whoever he causes to go astray, and that's not an attribute of Allah, the one who causes you to go astray, because Allah wants you to be guided. But why does Allah say whoever he causes to go astray, they're doing them guidance? It's because somebody is so stupid that they want to be going astray. They want to go astray. So when they want to go astray, he makes them even go further. See? It's a responsive type attribute. But you can't call Allah the one who makes people go astray. You can only call him that when they themselves have this disease in their heart and they want to go astray. And that's our proof. That's one of our proofs that if someone wants to be guided, Allah will guide them. If they don't want to be guided, there's nothing that anyone can do about it. Because Allah now uses the other conditional attribute. When they don't want to be guided, He helps them not be guided and sends them further away. That's what we mean by that. And this is serious. It's from a lot of different aspects, it's very serious. Number one, it teaches us how to look at these verses in the Quran. And when you look at these verses of Quran, you'll always notice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He ends the verse with a name of Himself, just go back to the inside structure of the verse. Like you'll see, He says, "Wa huwa al-'aliyyul kabeer," and He is the high, the great. If you go back to the verse, I guarantee you the verse has something to do with tawheed or shirk. I guarantee you. It has something to do with shirk. Because Allah attaches at the end of verses, when He uses His name, He attaches an appropriate name that has to do with what He mentioned inside the verse. Just look through the Quran. When you go home, you just check it out. When you see Him saying, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim at the end of the verse, it's something He sent down some rain, or He's making the flowers grow. When you look at the verses that talk about people being stupid, right, for instance, He'll say, He's the inflictor of retribution. The verse will always give you an indication on why He's giving the name. He's using that name at the end. And then you see some verses where He uses six or seven or eight or nine names at the end of the verse. Right? And then at the end, when He talks about how people commit shirk, He'll say, وَسُبْحَانَ amma يُشْرِكُونَ glory be to Allah from the things that they ascribe to Him. Right? But these are things, inshallah, for instance, here's one right in front of you. Allah says, مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ شَاكِرًا عَلِيمًا What concern has Allah for your punishment if you are thankful for His mercies and believe in Him? Allah will ever, the thankful, the knower. The thankful, the knower. But inside the verse, Allah says, what concern does Allah have for your punishment if you are thankful? You see? He's mentioning an attribute that human beings are supposed to have, then He explains what He is at the end of the verse by saying, He's the most thankful. You see? And He's the knower. The knower of what? The knower that you're either thankful or you're not. You see? And Allah uses in this interesting, Allah uses in this verse, He says, in shakartum wa amantum.
that you are faithful and you believe, because the linguistic meaning of disbelief means not being faithful. The linguistic meaning, not the religious meaning, the linguistic meaning of kafir, the linguistic meaning of kufr means to be ungrateful, to not be faithful. And the religious meaning means that you are not thankful to the one who created you. That makes you a disbeliever. Because you deny that he's the one to be worshipped. You're not thankful to the one who should be worshipped. So these names, brothers and sisters, is what time? Quarter to?
Five.
Okay. These names, when we see these names like this, the deceiver, the punisher, you know, these names, oh, I'm glad I mentioned that. Along with this, there are other names in the Quran and in Hadith. And then if you look at the 99 names, if you have a list of those names, the 99 names, I don't see any around. Yeah, right here. You'll notice that some of these names are, they have, if you notice in the Quran, you'll see that, and to some du'a, the Prophet used to say, that you can't use the names separately. This is a different category. This can't, this is always combative or responsive. But there's other names of Allah that you'll see him using another name, they're always back to back. You see? You can't, it's illegal Islamically to separate those names. Alright? For instance, Allah calls himself the giver. Now there's another attribute called Abu Wahab. I mean, another name called Al-Wahhab. But then there's some other names that Allah calls himself, and they're like dual attributes, dual names or dual attributes. Alright? They're dual attributes. You can't use one without the other. Let me see if I can get an example. One is, to give you an example. No, that's different. Here we go. Al-Mani' and Al-Qabhu. Alright? Al-Mani' means the, Al-Qabhu and Al-Mani'u wa Al-Qabhu. Al-Mani'u, Al-Mughni and Al-Mani'u. Al-Qabhu and Al-Mani'u. One means the preventer, and the other one means the harmer. So you can't use the preventer by itself. You have to use this one with this one. The giver and the restrictor. You can't say Allah is the restrictor without calling him the giver along with the restrictor. So you have to say he's the giver and the restrictor. Right? He's the giver and the preventer. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can't use one by itself. Yeah. There's some you can use by themselves. There's some like these that you have to use when they're in response to something that the creation is trying to do, and there are others that you can't use them separately. There are two that go with each other. Like, when we come from Ruku, it's Sami Allah wa Hamida, Rabbana wa Lakal Hamd. And there's a dua that the Prophet used to make. Mil as-samawati wa mil al-arf wa mil al-bainuma, la shifu al-ashad, min shifu al-shayin ba'ar, la yanfa'u zil-jad min til-jad, wa la na'budu illa iya, lahu ni'at wa lahu fadl wa lahu thanaa al-hasan, لا إله إلا الله مخلصين له الدين ولو كره الكافرون اللهم لا معد لما أعطيت ولا معطي ولا منع اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منع whoever when Allah gives no one can take it away whatever Allah takes away no one can give you have to use both of those together because if you use it by itself Allah is the harmer at Saru. Then this suggests to a person's mind something in, you know, evil. Allah is a harmer. You see? It should always be used in apposition, not opposition, in apposition to the other name. And this is something that's really, really important to understand, inshallah. So I think it's 8 o'clock now, right? If there's nothing else, inshallah, we're going to end it here? Or we're going to go on? 6 to 8, right?
6 to 8.
We was late, so we need about 15-20 minutes more.
Are we going to stop here? It's better to stop here.
Okay. Okay. That means that suggests that we should try to be early. All right. No questions? No questions about this? No rebuttals? No comments?
Yeah. I just want to straighten out that principle number two.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for principle number one, it has no branches. Principle number one has no branches.
Oh, okay.
That we just, it's obligatory to stick with the text. Right. Principle number two, concerning names of Allah, is... Number one, Allah's names, all of our names are beautiful and perfect. That's the first branch, first part. The second is that Allah's names are not restricted to a specific number.
So it would be everything you gave us that
ABC.
Say
right.
Yeah.
Right. Those are number two.
Okay.
Right. Third, you can't use rational thinking. And the fourth is that each of Allah's names indicate his essence or his being and an attribute which is comprised of something that is either transitive or intransitive. It affects the creation. Some do and some don't. And the third principle was that the attributes of Allah, all of the attributes of Allah are sublime, perfect, and they praise him. There's no deficiency in any kind of way, the same to Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's it?
That's principle number three?
Mm-hmm. Is that it? Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, wahdaka la sharika lak, wa astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu
alaykum.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وصحابته أجمعين. You know what I have, right? Where we leave off.
Principle 3. All the attributes of Allah are sublime, perfect, praise, and no
right.
Perfection.
All the attributes of Allah?
We spoke about the responsive, combative attributes.
Right. Anybody give me an example of that? I mean, anyone who was here? Give me an example of an attribute of Allah, an attribute that Allah attributes to himself, but we cannot call him that just unrestrictedly. Even though he calls himself that, we can't call him that unrestrictedly without some conditions. Can anybody give me an example?
Arrogance?
No, he's always arrogant. No, Allah is always arrogant, but with that attribute in you is bad, but in him is good. But he's always arrogant. For him, that's a good thing. For you, that's a bad thing.
Khida.
Yeah. This attribute, where Allah SWT says, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهِ وَهُوَ خَاعِدُهُمْ, that surely the munafiqun, the hypocrites, they try to deceive Allah, they try to trick Allah, and Allah tricks them. We cannot call Allah the deceiver or the tricker. Even though he attributes this attribute to himself, we can't call Allah the tricker without some conditions. What we do say is that at the time that person or those individuals are trying to deceive and trick Allah and the Messenger and those who believe, that's when he uses the same attribute as a retaliatory or combative attribute against the people who are trying to do it. But at the time that they're not doing it, he's not that. You just can't stand up in dua and say, oh Allah, oh deceiver. You can't call Allah that. Only when they're trying to do it to Allah and the Messenger and those who believe, that's when he does it. When it ends, he's no longer that. Is that kind of clear?
Mm-hmm.
Is that clear? You weren't here, but is that clear?
No, I wasn't here.
But is it clear? Mm-hmm. Okay. And there's some other attributes, a sister who wasn't here, there's some other attributes like this. Allah calls himself a plotter, the plant, the deceiver, the tricker, the beguiler. So these attributes are attributes that, for lack of better words, they're just conditional attributes. He's never that unrestricted. He's never that. In fact, in Arabic, what we call it, we say, when you see this word a lot in Arabic, mutlaqan. For those who are studying Arabic, it's spelled like this. Mutlaqan. This is a line. Mutlaqan. What this means is, mutlaqan means this terminology is used in Tafsir, Quran, Fiqh, Hadith. It's used all through Islamic sciences. All the Islamic sciences, this terminology is used. Mutlaqan or mutlaq. Right? Unrestrictedly. What it means is that, what's a simple way to say it? Unrestrictedly. Unbounded. It means that it has no limitations. In other words, you can't call Allah these names, these attributes that He calls Himself, without some restrictive condition. That's what it means. You can't say Allah is a deceiver mutlaqan, unrestrictedly. There's some conditions to call Him that. That's what it means. Unconditionally, you can use that too. Unconditionally is kind of not as close to the meaning of this. So that's what that means. But the other thing that you mentioned, Hassan, about Allah being arrogant, Mutakabbir, that's the name, Mutakabbir. This name, He's always this. He's always this. Alright? But the difference is that when you call Allah arrogant, this is showing His sublimity, it's showing perfection in Him, and it's praising Him. But if you say that you're arrogant, and Allah forbid, I'm going to point at you, the person sitting right there. If the person sitting right there, in this space right here, is arrogant, then for him, it's a lowly, imperfect, blameworthy attribute. See, but with Allah, it's the opposite. Right? So there's a difference. Any questions for anything that we went through last week that you, that maybe came to your mind when you left, and we can entertain before we begin? None? No one? I really, you know, subhanAllah, I really, and not specifically for this class, these classes are going to end. I mean, anybody that knows me well knows I like to do this kind of stuff. I could do this all day, every day, you know. I really feel bad that we don't have things like this continuously, you know. Because of a lot of information, a whole lot of information. I mean, we could do this for years. And then, literally, for years. And I just pray to Allah that Muslims are
going to pick it back up later on.
Yeah, either, I mean, it's up to the administration here, the message, either we can continue, if we don't get a good response for starting another one from the beginning, maybe we can talk to the imam about taking this to the next like semester. You know, that's people who graduate, so to speak, from this section, this semester, if you want to call, and then graduate going to what's more advanced.
That's what they normally do.
Yeah, so that I would, you know, as long as they want to use me, I'm ready. Okay. The next thing is Allah's attributes. This is the next branch to the principle we mean all of the attributes in the Quran. And in the Sunnah Sahiha, the authentic Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah or His Messenger, in the Quran and in the Sunnah, Hadith, says that He is. In other words, they are affirming that He is that. And for those who were absent, we mentioned that those 99 so-called attributes are not 99 attributes, they're 99 names. We're talking about attributes. The attributes of Allah, and of course every name has an attribute in it, so everything that Allah, it simply means everything that Allah, the Prophet says that Allah is, not only does this fall into the category of affirmation, we have to affirm what Allah and the Prophet has affirmed about Allah. It's wajib, if you follow the Hanafi school, it's obligatory, farz. It's followed, it's wajib, it's obligatory, absolutely imperative. Whatever Allah says He is, we have to believe that He is. Alright? Without takyif, without tahreef,
without Tim Field and without Top Field. And we gave these definitions before. And once again, for those who are not here, who weren't here before, inshallah, they can review the tapes or review the notes and the tapes for people who are here. Alright? So, for instance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has affirmed in the Quran that He has life. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has life. He also has affirmed in the Quran, and also the Prophet has affirmed, alayhi salam, that Allah has power. For instance, Allah says in the Quran, Allah la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. Allah, there is no deity worthy of worship, there is no ilah worthy of worship except Him, and He is al-hayyu, and He is al-qayyum. He is the ever-living, which means He has to have life. So we know automatically that Allah is not dead. Because He said He's alive. Alright? And even though from the branch of the principle we just learned just last week, that even though He does have life, with us, life indicates death. With Allah, life indicates eternal, the eternal nature of life. Alright? So we have to remember that. So Allah says that He is al-hayy. He is al-hayy, the living. Alright? And of course His life is not like our life. Even though we have life, birds have life, roaches have life, everything has life, trees, etc. Allah's life is not like our life. And no life can be compared to His life. Not denying that we don't have life, and not denying that Allah doesn't have life. The point is that Allah says He has life. So that attribute, that He has life, that He has power, that He has knowledge, etc., is there of the attributes called Thubutiyya. Sifatu Thubutiyya. Attributes of affirmation. But then, as the brother eloquently mentioned, that Allah reward him and all of us, I mean, he mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has attributes of negation, and he gave a perfect example. And you can look in, what is the number of Surah Kaf? 17? 18. Surah Kaf, verse 49. At the very end of that chapter, at the very end of that ayah, that verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَوُضِعَ الْكِتَابُ فَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُشْفِقِينَ مِمَّا فِيهِ وَيَقُولُونَ يَا لَيْتَنَا مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. And the book is placed, and you see the guilty fearful of that which is therein. And they'll say, what kind of book is this that leaves not a small thing nor a great thing but has challenged it? And we know the book here means what?
Perfect.
No. You know what the book means here? Listen again. The book of your deeds. Right. It says, what kind of book is this that leaves not a small thing or a great thing but has challenged it? And they'll find all they did confirm it. Father went on and you got it. And they found all that they did confirming it. وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. Your Lord to anyone or anything is never unjust. Never. So that means the difference between the Thubutiyya and the Salviyya. That's Salviyya, because Allah is negating the fact that He's unjust. The difference between, one of the main differences between the attributes that are Thubuti and the attributes that are Selvi is that with the Thubutiya ones, we have to believe that He's there. With the Selviya ones, has two aspects. Number one, we have to believe that He's not that, because He said He's not, and the Prophet said He's not. And number two, we have to reverse the fact that if He's not that, He's the opposite of that. See, that's mandatory in this belief. See, the first one, we don't do that. In other words, if Allah says He is something, we don't switch it around and says he's not with that type of attribute. But with the negative ones, with the ones of the essence of denial, when he says he's not that, automatically we have to believe that he is the opposite of that, and he's not that. So this means that if a person, her mother, has been trying to have, her husband has been trying to have children, and she gets pregnant, she loses the baby. She's pregnant again next year, she loses the baby. She's pregnant again the next year, she loses the baby. She's pregnant again the next year, she loses the baby. Then finally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives her a child, beautiful baby. And they ride down the street in the car, going to the masjid, and have an accident, the baby dies. And she screams out, this is not fair. This is unjust. Why do you do this to me, Allah? This is unjust. This is, of course, this is an emotional state, but this is a violation of the belief of these attributes. Because Allah is never unjust. What he does is always good. Relative to the human beings is bad to us, or it's evil, or it's haram, or it's sinful. But relative to Allah, in his infinite wisdom, why he does this, there's no tyranny, there's no unfairness, there's no chauvinism. You brothers can have more than one wife. It's not fair. That's unjust. No, it's just. Allah is never unjust. See? So this is an example of what the brother just mentioned. Another example is in chapter 2, verse 255. Right, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the same verse that we mentioned, Allah is, there is no deity worthy worship except Him. He is alive, the ever eternal, the subsisting, excuse me. Then he says, La ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm. Ayatul Kursi. La ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm. I think we mentioned this before, right? About this part of the verse? No? Allah in this verse, he says, sleep nor slumber overtakes him not. In actuality, it's the reverse. It says slumber or sleep overtakes him not. La ta'khudhuhu sinatun. Allah uses the word sina, and he uses the word naum. We know this word, and we've heard it before, even though we may not know what it means. But the Mu'adhin in Tajj prayer actually says, As-salatu khayrun minan naum. Prayer is better than sleep. This means sleep. Right? But sina comes from the word, it doesn't come from the word, it means mu'ad. Mu'ad. It means like to doze off like this. To become fatigued and, you do this. Like you doze it off.
Nod.
Like nodding out, even if you don't nod, just to, overcome. It's like the prelude to this. It's the beginning stages of this. Like dozing off, right? Now you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is infinitely wise. Right? Now, you sure we didn't talk about this?
We didn't talk about this.
Huh? We talked about the 5%? Remember I mentioned about the 5%?
Oh yeah.
Who try to say that, they don't go to sleep? They say they rest. Right? I'm not sleeping, I'm resting. Right, okay. So Allah answered them before Clarence even started that group. Allah answered them 1413 years ago by saying not only the sleep not overtake him, but the thing that is the introduction to sleep doesn't overtake him either. You see, and then we get the example of Musa. What Allah told Musa to do? When he explained this verse to Musa, this negative exodus to Musa?
I don't
remember
that.
There's a hadith in the collection of, I believe it's either in a Darimi or it's in a Tabarani, one of those. Either a Darimi or Tabarani, authentic hadith. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was explaining to Musa alayhi salam this particular attribute of salviyya, that he doesn't sleep and that slumber doesn't overtake him, or dozing off doesn't overtake him, right? Doesn't never overpower him. He said, Moses, stand up. with two jars, right? And of course, Musa, going to follow the commandment of Allah, so he took two jars and said, place them in your hand. So he stood up, right? Just a standard. And Musa stood, and then the first part of the night, midnight came, you know, Musa strong. And then the second part of the night came, and he started building up, right? And then the third part, he couldn't handle anymore, and he dropped the jars when they broke, when they fell on the ground. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Musa, said, if this were me, all of you would be destroyed, because I have the heavens and the earth in my hand. See, so this thing about Allah creating the heavens and earth in 6 days and resting and all these things, these are negative attributes. Allah denies that he had these things. And if you go through the Quran, you'll see there are quite a few attributes. Now that you're aware of it, you'll go through the Quran and you'll see what Allah says, he isn't this, he isn't that, I am not this. Sometimes he says it in the first person, I am not this, and I am not that. And you'll put it sometimes in the second person where Allah will have the prophet say, and oh our Lord, you are not this, or you don't do this. Well, Allah says, for instance, رَبَّنَا لَا تَزِغْ قُلُوبِنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ جَامِعُ النَّاسِ لِيَوْمٍ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ إِنَّكَ لَا تُخْلِفُ الْمِيعَادَ. Says, our Lord, رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ جَامِعُ النَّاسِ لِيَوْمٍ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. You are going to collect the people. That on a day there will be no doubt. No doubt you will collect and gather all human beings. Right? إِنَّكَ لَا تُخْلِفُ الْمِيعَادَ. And you never break your promise. See? So this is the attribute Sabir. So that means Allah always keeps his promise. So that also means that if you do exactly what Allah says to do in the Quran and the authentic son of the Prophet, you go to jail. Because he doesn't break his promise. If you don't do that because he doesn't break his promise, you won't go to jail.
Excuse me, I have to ask you.
Yes.
Why is in the Quran, something say we. What does that mean?
We're going to come to this, inshallah. But if you want the answer now, you want the answer right now? Okay. Well, I can't wait. What we means, like in Arabic language, also in like some other Semitic languages, for lack of better words, like Middle Eastern languages. In fact, we even have it in English now. You'll notice that there are two types of plural. Alright? You have the plural of numbers, and you have the plural that's used for a term of respect and honor, to show the greatness of someone. Alright? So if you say, we are going fishing, it means something plural. But if you say, if you say, we, as Allah says, and we created the human being. Right? Here we already know Allah is Ahad. It doesn't, because we have to go to other verses in the Quran. Qul hu Allahu Ahad. So just based on that alone, and because our principles tell us to stick to the text, right, we know that we have to mean something else. So it can't mean more than one. Right? Here, what it shows the greatness of Allah. It shows the greatness of Allah. And it's just a figure, it's a terminology that's used in almost all Semitic languages. And we created the human being. Not that Allah had help. You know, Allah doesn't need help. But this is called the we of royalty. That's what it's called. The we of honor and respect. You'll see the President of the United States standing in front of the people, giving the state address. And he'll say, we, the President of the United States of America. You see this a lot. The imam will give a khutbah. What we will talk about today is, right? There's only one person standing in front of him. We, the Queen of England, say today, right? There's only one woman. So if that we is just a literary expression to show the greatness of the office of that individual. It's called the we of royalty, or the we of honor and respect. But it doesn't, it's not the we of numbers. So there's other places in the Quran, but this, the one once again that the brother gave, is a very good example. And then you can look for yourself. When you go through the Quran now, when you go through the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you'll see these passages being used. Right. Any questions about this before we go to the next part? Nothing? Okay. Now, out of the attributes of Allah, Azza wa Jalla, the Mighty and the Sublime, out of the attributes that Allah has that are ubudiyyah, these are divided into two types themselves. Alright? One and two. The ones that are Zatiyya and Fi'liyya. You have those that are Zatiyya, which deal with the being or the essence of Allah, the being or the essence, or Allah Himself, the self of Allah. And then the fi'liyya are the attributes of action, if we can call them the functional attributes, or the operative attributes. Alright? Remember now, Zatiyya and Fi'liyya are both the divisions of Ubudiyya. That means they're affirmative. You follow me? That means they're affirmative, and that's Fi'liyya, and not attributes that he's engaging himself. These are attributes that he says he has. Alright? Now, the first one, the attributes that are ubudiyya, zatiyya, they are the affirmative attributes. Allah or the Prophet alayhi salam has affirmed them, and they are dealing with his being, or his essence, or his self. Alright? Anyone have an idea what this means? The attributes that deal with it, there's a word that comes to my mind, but maybe I could use it, but I don't want to get real philosophical, you know. But we could call Zatiyya the attributes that are metaphysical. The metaphysical attributes of Allah. But I don't know. I guess I won't get in trouble if I use it. But actually the being of Allah. And actually the actual person of Allah. That's what it means. The personage of Allah, you see. And when you say person, people say, oh, my, you can't do that because Allah's not. Yeah, but in a spiritual sense, yes, he is. He has a personage, that's what we mean. He has a being, okay? What this means, this one, the first one, that he is, this means all of the attributes that Allah always was characterized by, and always will be characterized by. I repeat, these are the ones that Allah has always been characterized by. Always. Whether there was anybody around to characterize him by them or not. And always will be characterized by them. Okay? He's looking at me around. You with me? Alright? And we'll explain it, of course, inshallah. The fi'liyya attributes, they're the ones that are associated with Allah's will. These are the ones that are associated, they're connected with Allah's will. Alright? In other words, if he wants to do it, he'll do it. If he doesn't want to do it, he won't do it.
Inshallah.
Huh?
That's the purpose of saying inshallah.
That's not the purpose of saying inshallah, but that statement is connected to the attributes of fi'liyya. That statement is. Alright? Now, I know it may be a little vague in some of your minds, but can anyone give me an example of an example for the first type, Zacchaeus? Something that deals with the actual self. Now, Dawood Adib himself is sitting in front of you. Alright? You are sitting in front of me. The this part right here. That. The self or the being of you and you are sitting in front of me right now. I see your that. That's the actual being of you sitting in front of me right now. Alright? If you were outside of this building right now, your that is not here. Your that would be outside the building. If you were in Chicago, or you were in Miami, or in Mecca, or Medina, or someplace like this, I can't say that the that of Abdulatif is here. I can't say the that of Sister Khadija is here. Because the that is the person themselves. Presence can be used loosely, but it can be used, but it can't be used technically here, because people say, you know, my grandmother's dead and I feel her presence. See? But your grandmother's in that ground. After she died, she's put in the ground. Her that is not here. See? So when you say the that, you mean the actual person themselves. The ruh that's inside the human being is not the that of the human being. The ruh, the soul, is inside the that. So what we see is the that. That's what I mean. Alright? This book is here, be that he is. That's what you say in Arabic. The book is in my hand right now, be that he is. Now the book is not in my hand, be that he is. I'm saying this Quran is this. Now I'm saying the book is here figuratively. Right? It's not actually here in my hand. I would say, at some point, I'm saying, this Quran right here, brothers and sisters, I'm referring to this over here. But this is the actual back of the book. The essence is right here. The being, the self of this book is right here. Or this chalk. Or a person, or an animal, etc. So Allah has a back. He has a being. He has a self. Alright? Essentially, he has a being. That is over the heavens and the earth. Allah, He Himself, the being, the that of Allah, is over His throne, which is over the heavens and the earth. Alright? So now, if we want to give an example of attributes that are that here, Allah meaning things that He was characterized by, always will be characterized by, give me an example. Anyone. Something that is essentially of Him.
Al-Khaliq. Al-Khaliq.
Being the Creator. That is a vast attribute. Because He always was the Creator, and He always will be the Creator. Before there was anything to create, that attribute is vast. But it's also fitly. That attribute is both together. I want one by itself. Because Allah always was characterized by the Creator, and He always will be characterized by the Creator, even if there was nothing to create. And at the same time, it's an operative, actional, functional attribute, because it's something that He does. But what I want now is an attribute that is totally, exclusively of the Zatiya type. He always was eternal, and He always will be eternal. And can we say that that's functional? You're right. No, that's not technically functional. But give us one that's, really clear. I mean, really, we don't have to think. Did anyone think of one? He always was described as having that thing or being that. That's one. But the master also means owner. That's one. Yes, His holiness, He's always been described as being holy, and He always will be, and that's not a functional, that's right. But there's others. His hearing. The fact that He always heard, and He always will hear. Alright? But that's also fair eating. It's operable. But His hand, Allah has always been described as having hands. And He always will be described as having hands. But that's not an operative attribute. That's His hands as part of Himself. That's not an action thing. His eyes are not an action, operative, functional attribute. Allah has always been described as having eyes and always will be described as having eyes, and He doesn't need His eyes to see. See, that's the difference. We need ours to see. Allah doesn't need His to see. Why?
Verse 40.
What's the reason why He doesn't need His eyes to see? Huh? No. No. What's the reason? Real simple. Listen to the word I use. Just listen to my statement. Allah doesn't need eyes to see.
He's self-sufficient.
He doesn't need anything. If you say He needs eyes to see, you're saying that He has necessities. He's dependent on something. Allah's not dependent on His eyes to see. You see? You see? With your eyes or without your eyes. Right? Okay. His feet. Allah mentions and the Prophet mentions that Allah has feet. That He's been characterized as having feet. Before there was anything created, Allah had those feet. And He always will have those feet. He's not going to go anywhere. Right? So that attribute, that those are attributes that are attributed to Allah and is characterized by them from before there was a time till there won't be any time. Alright? But the fi'liya attributes are attributes that are connected to Allah's will. If He wants to do it, He'll do it. And if He doesn't want to do it, He doesn't. He won't do it. Some of them are both together and some of them are not. Now, I want an example now of an attribute that is fi'liya, totally fi'liya, mutlaqan. No, not mutlaqan, muqayyida, restricted. I want one now that it can't, it's not a fi'liya, excuse me, it's not a badhiya attribute. I want an attribute of Allah that's a purely functional, operative, action attribute. And He wasn't always characterized by that attribute. And He won't always be characterized by that attribute. And He does it when He wants, or He doesn't do it if He doesn't want. No, because that you can't, that, well, yeah. Yeah, that could be one, but we want one different from that one. Anybody? Tell me some of the things that Allah does that He does. He doesn't do all the time. That's what this means. He does it, and then sometimes He's not doing it. He does it when He wills, and then when He doesn't will, He doesn't do it. And He hasn't always done it. And He won't always do it. There will come a time when He won't do it, and there was a time when He didn't do it. Why did the Quran was so low? What you were going to say there?
Sometimes it's been a messenger or...
How you doing? Excuse me. Okay. I'm learning from them. Believe me, brother. Wallahi, I tell people all the time, I'm doing this for selfish reasons. Really, because I'm the one that benefits. The more you teach, the more you learn, brother. Believe me. Because I'm thinking of stuff that I didn't say in the class before. Some phrases I've done, some things I'm saying now, it just comes to my head to say now, and I didn't say in other places. Just from the vibe. Okay. Allah ascending His throne. Allah says, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arsh istawa. Allah, the beneficent one, ascended over and rose above in the ascended throne. This is purely this year. It's nothing to do with that season. Alright? Why is Allah ascending over the throne purely Fahriyah? Remember what the meaning of Fahriyah is. The attributes that are connected or associated to His will. If He wants to do it, He'll do it. If He doesn't want to do it, He won't do it. He wasn't always described or characterized doing it, and He won't always will be. This is something that He does when He wants, or He doesn't do if He doesn't want, but He always didn't do it. Why? Allah coming His decision, Allah descending His throne in the third part of every night. Why isn't this attribute like the Ba'athiyah attributes? Always was and always will be. Why? Allah ascending the throne and He said, think with it. I say it again. Put on your thinking kufis and your thinking shimars. Tell me why. He just does that certain times. That's not the reason though.
Because He comes down to check on His believers, see what they want to answer to prayer.
No.
Because He's not going to
listen to why? Come on, why? Keep going.
He won't have a reason to come down.
Why though? Why? And the same answer that you're about to give, inshallah, and Allah is advocating that arrangement, Allah increase you in knowledge and memory. And the same answer you get ready to give, if you just take it back to why He never did this, before it was, I'm trying not to give you the answer. What's the reason? Here's the answer right here, and she's right here. You hit it right on the head when you say the dead and resurrection. But you right, you real close. Can anybody grasp what she's getting close to?
Yeah, she lost me a little bit, but she was coming out with blood.
What's the reason?
It wouldn't be necessary for Him to come down after the cross.
No, listen, I'm going to say it one more time. No, He doesn't come down to forgive. Don't say that. And also, don't say that Allah comes down to check. Because Allah doesn't have to come down to check. Alright? Allah doesn't have to come down to forgive because Allah is over His throne. He can give us as He pleases, how He pleases, and He doesn't have to move His position to forgive His teachings. Alright? Don't say that. I'm going to give you the answer right now, without saying the answer. Allah created seven heavens, right?
Mm-hmm.
Above the seventh heaven is water. Above the water are angels. Imam Bukhari said that water is not like our water too. He said, right? The angels are holding the throne of Allah. They're called Hamalat al-Arsh. The angels that hold the throne, they carry the throne of Allah. Over that throne is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the glorified and the exalted. Why can't Allah be described? Why can't Allah ascending the throne be of this type? The one that that is, the one that He always was characterized as and always will be. Why not? See, there's two ways you can get this answer. In my humble opinion, it may be 50 ways, I don't know. But in my humble opinion, there's two ways you can get this answer. Either number one, with using dalil naqli, using transmitted evidence from Quran and Sunnah, or using dalil aqli, using rational proof. If you knew this hadith, you can get this answer immediately. So the hadith that would tell you the answer immediately. And that hadith is, it says, before there was anything, there was Allah. and there was nothing with them. That's the answer. Okay. Now, give me the answer.
After he created everything, the angels, after he created the angels, and his angels were like, to carry out certain,
he's getting away from it. What is the key subject I'm talking about? We're talking about Allah ascending his throne. What is the subject in this sentence?
Someone ask him?
No. What are we talking about? What is something I'm talking about that Allah is ascending?
He's mounting his throne.
He's ascending the throne. Okay. Has his throne always been there?
No.
Then how could he have always done it? How can he have always ascended the throne when the throne wasn't here? Only Allah was here. There was nothing here but Allah in his existence, right? In order for Allah to be characterized as always doing something and always will, the thing that he's always doing had to have been there too. You see? How can he have always been ascending his throne if there wasn't any throne? The throne is created. And what the sister was saying, she was getting real close, Allah was going to destroy everything, including the throne. Alright? Allah's going to destroy the heavens and the earth, the dunya, everything. So now that it's going to be destroyed, how is he going to ascend it? Isn't the throne a part of creation? That means his ascension also is something that he always wasn't characterized as doing, and he always won't be characterized as doing. This is fi'liyya. It's associated with his will, something that if he wants to do, he'll do it, and something that if he doesn't want to do, he won't do. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Surah Al-Fajr. Right? He says, وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَالْمَلَكُ صَفًّا صَفًّا. And your Lord will come with the angels, rank upon rank. Your Lord will come. Is this ذاتية or فعلية? No. ذاتية or فعلية? How is it that here? Allah's coming.
It's coming. It's coming.
That's part of his essence. It's coming.
No, but he's, in order to come, he has to be there.
Yeah, but is that part of his operational attributes? And it's not that here. It's not that here. It's very near. It's something that Allah hasn't always been characterized as coming. And he always won't be characterized as coming. No, this coming means rain. He comes when he wants to, and if he doesn't want to come, he's not going to come. Alright? But he hasn't always been characterized as coming. Right? I don't know if this is clear. It's not clear. Huh? Everybody's clear. It's not clear?
Yeah.
Who doesn't understand? Raise your hand, whoever doesn't understand. I mean, totally. You don't understand? Not totally. You understand totally?
Not totally.
You don't either? You understand?
I think I understand.
You think you do? Alright, I'm going back to myself again, to my that. Right now, the that of Dawood is sitting in this chair. And I'm not trying to compare myself for a while. Alright, let me get clear right now. The that of Dawood, I'll try to be perfectly still, just make me my mouth not move. The that of Allah, the that of Dawood, the being of Dawood, the essence of Dawood is sitting in the chair. Let's imagine that I'm not talking. And my eyes are not moving. Alright? The that of Dawood is not action. There's nothing moving on me. Right? My arm is not moving, my eyes are not moving, etc. The that of me is just what you see. That's not an operational, functional attribute of me. That's me. But now, if I pick up this pen or this chalk, that's a functional attribute. I lifted the chalk. I lifted it because I wanted to. And if I didn't want to lift it, I won't. Can human beings be characterized, always have been, and always will be characterized as having a nose? We're talking about normal human beings that come out of their mother's womb that are born with all the things that human beings are normally born with. Is an attribute of a human being the nose of an attribute? Is that vatiya or fi'liya? This will let me know if you know what I'm talking about. It's vatiya, it's not fi'liya. Their nose is not running around the street somewhere. You understand? Do you really understand what I'm saying now? Alright? The lips are that the attributes of human beings. Human beings have always been and always will be characterized by having lips, by having a heart, by having sexual organs, by having arms, by having hair, etc. But the attributes that are related to our actions are kindness, arrogance, cheerfulness, benevolence. If we want to do it, we'll do it. If we don't want to do it, we won't do it. You see? And even when we die, we lay it on the table with our bodies to be washed, those attributes of that here are still with us, but the other ones are not. Where did the other ones go? They go back to Allah to be questioned. See? The Fahriya attributes go back to Allah. What's the evidence?
The evidence?
The evidence. You're absolutely right. The evidence is the Prophet Sallallahu said. But that, it says, that the three things follow the dead. Yes, Ba'u, Nayyit, Salah. Three things follow the dead. His loved one's family, his money, his property, and his deeds. Two return, فَيَرْجُعْ إِثْنَانِ وَيَبْقَى وَاحِدْ, and one remains. All the things that are part of the essence of the human being, that stops at the grave. But the thing of his action goes on. Now you see the difference between the bat and the action? The person themselves and the actions of the person? Same or similar with Allah. Allah has the essential, personal, metaphysical attributes, his eyes, his face, his hand, his shank. Because Allah, the Prophet also says Allah has a shank. Alright? His feet, his fingers. Those are with Allah. Allah's fingers don't come out and touch you on your head. They're not operative like that, you see. But he sees you and he always will see you. He hears you and he always will hear you. And he sees and hears everything, even when there's nothing to see or there isn't any sound. He always did this. He always had the attribute. That's what I'm saying. That he always has this attribute and he always will. Now sometimes you find attributes that are both. And some of you have mentioned some of them that are both together. One is speech. That is kalam. Allah has the attribute of the one who speaks. He always had that attribute. He always be characterized as one who speaks. He always will be characterized as one who speaks. And it is a functional attribute because speaking is functional. Is that clear now? Is it kind of clear now? Okay, how much time we have? Anybody?
5 to 7.
5 to 7. Okay. Is that pretty clear? Okay, now let's go on. Huh? You okay? You know, and really, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, the average, and I'm not trying to boost this class up or anything, I'm boosting me up or, you know,
like I'm a big shot, man, you know. But I'm not, I don't want to be arrogant. That's a wild ass dude, right? But really, the average Tawheed classes that I've seen conducted, they don't go this far. They just give you the basics, you know, Allah is the God, and He's the only one to be worshipped, and He has beautiful names and attributes, and that's it. This stuff is really, really important. It's really, really important. Because this will help you, believe it or not, that when you read the Quran, things will be much, much clearer. Mm-hmm. They'll become more clearer. The next branch is that each or in every attribute of Allah can be addressed to three basic questions. Each and every attribute of Allah can be addressed by three basic questions. The first question is, are they real? Are they actual? Or not? Excuse me, and why? Not and not, and why? Alright? What do I mean by they? Are they actual? Are they real? What do I mean by real? What am I talking about?
Are the
attributes real? Or, and why? That's the first question. Are the attributes real? Are they actual? And why? That's the first question. In other words, if we're going to be talking to somebody about the attributes of Allah, these are three basic questions that can be addressed. That's what we mean. The second question, is it permit, is taqyeed? You have to go back to your notes now. Is taqyeed permissible? And why? It's taqyeed. We learn this word. T-A-K-Y-E-E-F. Is taqyeed permissible? Meaning the taqyeed of the attributes. Is it permissible? And why? That's the second question.